اللهم أصلح عبدك وخليفتك بما أصلحت به أنبياءك ورسلك وحفه بملائكتك وأيده بروح القدس من عندك واسلكه من بين يديه ومن خلفه رصدا يحفظونه من كل سوء وأبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا ولا تجعل لأحد من خلقك على وليك سلطانا وأذن له في جهاد عدوك وعدوه واجعلني من أنصاره إنك على كل شيء قدير. Dear brothers and esteemed sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. My topic is about the personality of the infallible lady Fatima As-Siddiqa As-Shahida. I try to provide you a type of re-understanding about Lady Fatima's typical values, education. From the decade of 90s onward, there is a very interesting, effective, and important discussion in the domain of values, in the domain of education, by the name of values education. How to educate our children, our young generation, in a way that they intake particular types of positive values and take out and reject anti-values or negative values. So I tried inside my studies about Lady Fatima to come up with a type of typical Fatimi values education, particularly the case of Hassanain, how Lady Fatima tried her best to educate her children, particularly Hassanain, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. From the decade of 90s onward, there is a new field in education called values education. In values education, we have different modern approaches. Some people are follower the prophetic values education. The other group try to follow character values education. For the character values education, there is a paradigm, there is a criterion. Based on that criterion, we need or we have to educate our young generation in terms of values. The third group is clarifying values education. These clarifiers or the followers of clarifying values education try to educate people in terms of what they themselves come up with, a particular type of cluster of values. And the fourth one is liberal democratic values education. The majority of the educationalists nowadays follow the paradigm of liberal democratic values education, which is based on liberalism and democracy. For them, freedom, individualism, equality, fraternity, and brotherhood are the special type of criteria that they try to take it as a model. And the fifth group are postmodern, who try to tend on relative values education. For postmodernists, there is no stable conventional type of value system. Values for people in all ages and places are different, so the necessity of education in terms of values should go toward relativism. And the sixth one is Lawrence Kohlberg values education, which is based on development of cognition of people from different ages. As people grow from infancy toward agedness, they have different levels and different ability and quality in terms of cognition based on the growth of cognition. People try to choose different types of values. Tasting a prophetic values education. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in one of his sayings, says that Lady Fatima could be a living role model for all ages and all generations. Fatima, in the eyes of her father, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, was introduced like this. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Amma ibnati Fatima, fa innaha sayyidatu nisa al-alameen, min al-awwaleen wal-akhirin. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, with regard to my daughter, Fatima, you need to know that she is the master of all women for the two worlds, meaningly this world and hereafter. In two worlds, she is the master. She is the pioneer. She is the head. Why she was Sayyida, the master, the most qualified? Why she was located on the peak of personality and qualification? Because of different characters in her personality. Number one, Fatima salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayha was considered and regarded as the best mom. We all know that Fatima entered the house of Imam Ali as a wife. By getting married to Imam Ali, a family with two infallible members established. Fatima was superior to the women of the two worlds, partly because of her major role on her children as a good mom, as an educating mom. It is enough to look at her children and their impact on the establishment of Islam by creating the school of Ahlul Bayt. Nowadays, whenever you talk about school of Ahlul Bayt, the very core, the very root is Lady Fatima. She trained indeed the speaking Qurans, Al-Qur'an al-Natiq. Infallible imams as true role models. Fatima was able to educate her children with the highest level of personality, particularly the highest level of EQ, intelligence quotient, and IQ. Emotional quotient, an intelligence quotient. Therefore, we simply and easily could say the bridging line between Nubuwa and Imama was Lady Fatima. So she could be a living role model for all ages and all generations because of each and every character of her, which is a living role model. Number one, the best mom. Number two, establishing a qualified environment of family. Necessity of peaceful and quiet family environment is the very first condition to be able to educate qualified children. It is very important for all dads and moms to know that the very first requirement of qualified education for the young generation is a peaceful environment of family. Fatima salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayha was living at a very crucial time. She had to be an encouraging wife beside Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib to be able to make him ready to play his vital role for the young Islam at its very crucial time. During 10 years in Medina, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed 75 campaigns, 27 qazwa, the major one, and 48 sariya. Just during 10 years in Medina, he managed 75 campaigns, 27 major one and 48 minor one. And Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, the husband of Fatima, participated in almost all of these campaigns. So his presence at these campaigns must be very powerful, influential, and effective. Sometimes it took him months. Therefore, Fatima was alone with children in Medina. The majority of her 9 years of shared time with Imam Ali, Fatima was alone, since Imam Ali was involved in holy campaigns beside Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So this is the first part. I will back to you in my second part. Happy and salawati in. الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وسلام على المرسلين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Lady Fatima's typical values education, the case of Hassanan, session number two. Islam and value of maternity. In Islam, one of the very important values which is given to all moms, is the highest level of respect for all moms who have provided children to Muslim Ummah, maternity and motherhood. Islam has its new value system with regard to motherhood and maternity. The request of women of Medina from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Battle of Uhud, and the prophetic reply provide us a type of paradigm for value of motherhood. A group of women of Medina went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Battle of Uhud, asking him for permission to participate on the Battle of Uhud. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam replied, Jihadul mar'ati husnu taba'un. The holy campaign of women is nothing more than being a qualified wife beside a husband to be able to establish a qualified Muslim family. So establishing a qualified family environment takes the highest value for women's responsibility in Islam. In according to the Islamic value system, nothing could go higher than women's responsibility in establishing a qualified family environment. It was so important, the value of maternity, that Lady Fatima salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi says, when she wants to clarify the importance and the position and the high position of women, she says, Alzim rijlaha, alzim rijlaha. You keep, stay just beneath the feet of your mom. Why? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِهَا. The paradise is located beneath the feet of your mom. The value of motherhood is even beyond the value of paradise. Only because they could play the same role as prophets, just educating humanity. Value insertion and parental attachment. In Islam, in according to Islamic thought, one of the very important way of value insertion is being careful about the necessity of parental attachment. I mean physical and psychological attachment that children need to take from their parents. So we need to be very careful to provide enough touch, enough kisses, enough huggings, in order to provide our children. Another important paradigm in Fatimi values education is being careful about the impact of colors on the formation of human personality. Nowadays, as you may know, there is a special discipline in psychology is called psychology of colors. The value of white dresses, white color. Fatima salawatullahi wasalamu alayha and the psychology of color. Prophetic reaction against the yellow dresses of his grandson Hassan on the occasion of his birthday and requesting Fatima salawatullahi wasalamu alayha to dress him in white dresses at the early days of life. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived at Lady Fatima's house, and it was the very first day of delivery of Hassan. So Fatima had wrapped her son Hassan in a yellow dress. By looking at that yellow dress, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately reacted against these yellow dresses and said, "My darling, immediately change this one from the early days. The young infants need to be wrapped in a white dresses, because the white dresses provide the message of peace, tranquility, and justice." Fatima salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, and the value of emotional needs. In her private will to Imam Ali, Lady Fatima salawatullahi wa salamu alayha states like this: "Aw Ali, yabna'am, jazakallah anni khayr al-jaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you the best of rewards. Oh my cousin, I will advise you. I advise you, usik, awwalan. Firstly, I advise you to get married, with daughter of my sister, Amama. Why? فَإِنَّهَا تَكُونُ لِوَلَدِي مِثْلِي. Amama toward my children is like myself. My children are in need of psychological support, yet they are young. They are not mature enough yet. They are young. They are in need of emotional support. So you get married to daughter of my sister in order to provide a type of emotional support for them. This is first. And second, فَإِنَّ الرِّجَالَ لَا بُدَّ لَهُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ. Men are in need of being with women. So don't forget this for yourself, and first for my children, the emotional support." Another very important point from Fatima salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi is mentioning good characters in children. Following her father, Fatima usually was addressing her sons Hassan and Hussein, saying this: "Al Hassan wal Hussein sayyida shababi ahli al jannah." My dearest sons Hassan and Hussein are the masters, are the heads of the youth of the paradise. When you mention good points, positive points in your children, they will intake it. So initiating the value of diet and nutrition. This is very important. Sometimes we are careless about some very important points in educating our children, yet when we take more consideration, we will realize the importance. Being careful about how and what children eat. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam got a big amount of dates to distribute it among the needy people of Medina. Hassan ibn Ali was with him. Prophet noticed that the boy was chewing one date in his mouth. Prophet took it out and said, "Hassan, my dearest one, it is forbidden for the household of Prophet salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi to use sadaqah. Don't eat, please." He took out the date. And here you need to send a happy and salawati end. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I will back to you on my third session. Bi'aunillah.
Yes, Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and esteemed sisters in Islam, this is Abbas Ali Shamili talking to you. I'm very happy to have you listening to these very important and precious teachings of Lady Fatima Zahra, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayha. You have listened to what I afforded you through, you know, the video, but now I am ready to answer your questions through WhatsApp, because through Zoom I couldn't enter because of the, you know, limitations in Iran. So brothers and sisters who come up with any question, I'm ready to answer those questions through WhatsApp at your service.
Yeah, is there any question?
Brothers and sisters?
Assalamu alaikum. Can I ask a question? Sorry, is it possible to ask here? How do we go about it?
Yes, you can ask question. Yes, Aga is listening.
Okay.
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Agha. It was a great session. Thank you very much for that. I missed part of it because I was busy. I don't know if you touched upon the hijab issue and Lady Fatima salamullahi alaiha. So the question is that we find great emphasis on the lady's hijab, and also the hadith where it says that the best thing for a woman is not to be seen by a namahram, and for her not to see a namahram. So could you elaborate on that hadith? Because we are living in the Western world and there's a great drive from within the Shia community to try to discredit hijab. This morning I was reading an article which came from one of the houses of England in Birmingham, where they were trying to say that it was hijab was just in context of the time of the Prophet. And now there is no significance of hijab because the rules of modesty have changed. So there is no need to cover your head or cover your bosom the way the Quranic ayats say. Thank you very much. That is the question.
Okay, thank you very much. This is very important questions. One of the very important questions nowadays. You know, with regard to hijab, of course, we have the issue of context beside the issue of content. The content of hijab is very crystal clear in the Holy Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. This وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ, they have to cover their upside, you know, the head, the neck, and the chest. This is the explicit order of the Holy Quran. And it doesn't have any relation to the issue of time and place. Yes, of course. Always we are faced with the issue of context, time and place. But explicitly, the content is clear. And more important is to be able to differentiate between three main concepts. I believe that the misconceptions and misunderstanding come up with, you know, intermingling and mixing three main concepts. Number one, hijab. Number two, iffaz. Hijab, iffaz, and haya. These are the three main concepts. Hijab means your cover, Islamic cover. Iffaz means modesty. And haya means an inner character of, taking care of someone who is observing the activities of a believer. I believe that sometimes these three concepts are intermingled. The issue that from Birmingham or from United States or from Hausa or from Najaf or from Qom, it's not the matter of time and place. It's the explicit saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran with regard to hijab. Hijab means your cover. And this cover stems from an inner character, which I call it modesty. And modesty joins another inner character that I call it haya. Haya means not feeling total freedom with regard to your behaviors and activities. Haya means feeling and believing in an observer who is taking care of your life. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the infallible imam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. Both Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet are taking care of you, are looking at you. So, when you talk about the issue of hijab, it's not a matter of time and place that you say, yes, hijab was of Lady Fatima. But nowadays, you could be off of any type of hijab, but insidely and in your heart, you are taking care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commandments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very explicit way, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Is it any difference to understand this verse at the time of Lady Fatima or at the present time? I believe that this goes back to the, intermingling of three main concepts. Until we are able to understand and differentiate between these three main concepts, we are not able to answer questions like the one that you answered me, that you asked me. The differentiation between hijab, haya, and ifaf. Haya and ifaf are inner, but hijab are outer. This is the explicit duty and obligation of men and women, men in one way and women in other way. Of course, that hijab is not enough if we go by the, explicit outer type of dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commandments. So my answer is that until we are able to differentiate between these three concepts, we are just going astray. Hijab doesn't have any relation to time and place. This is the explicit order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of Lady Fatima up until the day of resurrection. Halal Muhammadin halalun ila yawm al-qiyamah wa haramuhu haramun ila yawm al-qiyamah. The understanding of وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. There is a difference between the time of Lady Fatima and the present time. Wajib is wajib. If you go that way, then, daily prayers and fasting are also related to the time of Prophet Muhammad. At this time, for fasting and for daily prayer, you just call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a day, twice a day, on the street, on your job. Daily prayer is daily prayer. Fasting is fasting. Hajj is Hajj. Whether the time of Prophet, whether the existing time, whether 3, 4, 5 centuries afterward. Hijab is the explicit, crystal clear commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the issue is, you know, the intermingling of three main concepts: hijab, haya, ifaz.
Jazakallah.
I don't know. Could I answer your question?
Yes, Dr. Fatima. Is it okay? The mic is open. Yeah, Jawad Naqvi.
Hello. Thank you, Agha. That was very clear and explains it well. Although these people, they twist it around. I mean, they say that it is contextual. And then this guy goes on to say that on existential level, we have to understand this. And on existential level, it means that it was appropriate to that time. Those rulings, they came, there was a special shan-e-nuzul for the ayat. And therefore, he concludes that in this time, if a society deems it appropriate for a woman to cover from head to toe, there you should. But especially in Western environment where it's all right to dress as you wish, then, I mean, you go according to the norms of the society. That is his conclusion in that particular article that I'm talking about. But thank you. Clarified it very well.
You know, but I need to add one more point.
Yes, Agha.
I need to add one more point. As well as the point that I gave you, I have another additional point. Allama Misbah Yazdi, Rahmatullah Alayh, when he was, you know, facing these types of questions, he was telling us, be very careful. When some people talk about contextuality of the Islamic rulings, you need to know, of course, context, different contexts have impact on the Islamic rulings, no doubt about it. But more important of the impact of the context, we need to know Islamic rulings are like a token. They have two sides. All Islamic rulings are like a token. They have two sides. One side of the token of Islamic ruling goes back to core, the reality, the essence of the Islamic ruling. The other side goes back to the structure, the form. Sister Fatima, with regard to contextuality has definitely impact on the Islamic ruling, but not on the core, not on the essence, not on the reality and nature of the Islamic ruling. Obligation is obligation. Contextuality has impact on the form, on the structure, on the appearance of the Islamic ruling. Hijab is hijab. But, you know, should be hijab in form of kerbas that at the time of Lady Fatima was famous among that society in Arab society. With regard to material, with regard to fabric, with regard to color, whatever goes back to structure and form, these are due to context. All these are due to context. But the core of hijab means having borderline for the relationships of men and women, male and female. It has nothing to do with, you know, contextuality. It goes back to the stability of halal Muhammadin halal ila yawm al-qiyamah wa haramuhu haramun ila yawm al-qiyamah. So with regard to those types of questions, we need to be able to differentiate between core and periphery, core and structure, essence and the form. Context could have impact on the structure, on the form, on the appearance. on the fabric, on the material, on the color. Should it be chador or should it be, you know, manto? Should it be black or should it be yellow? These are the forms, the structure. It goes back to the culture of any society. But the core means have a borderline between men and women, male and female, in their social relationships. So, of course, contextuality has impact, but on what? On the essence of the Islamic ruling? Of course not. If it goes that way, then there is no Islam. We manipulate the Islamic ruling. The core of hijab is what? Having borderline. There is not freedom before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the social relationship of male and female. They have to follow the borderlines. But which color? Which fabric? Which type of fabric? Which form of covering? Should women wear jilbab or chador or manto or other? It's due to their culture. But the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requests the believers is you are not free in your social relationship, in your job place, in your social activities, social behaviors. You need to follow modesty. You need to follow borderlines. Otherwise, there is no borderline between public and private. And, you know, removing the borderline between public and private is one of the signs of postmodernity. And Islam, even in postmodern era, goes its own way. This is my second.
Thank you very much, Agha. It's a very good response and gives us a tool to respond to these type of attacks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other question?
Assalamu alaikum, Agha.
Alaikum assalam.
I have a pretty much similar questions with this, like in terms of the conceptuality, but the issue is related to the color, the choosing the color, especially what I'm seeing, as a matter of fact, it's happening in my own backyard, so that's why I'm more concerned. Choosing the color, especially the blackish, is like a most, what you say, the chosen color these days among the teenagers, especially the girls. I don't know, I mean, how to suggest or what, there are other colors and there are other things that needs to be in the preferences of young girls. I don't know how I can relate with the realities that, what is the teaching of the Masumin alayhi salam regarding the choosing the color. Could you please discuss this through the lens that we can understand it? Okay, what's the best and how we can choose the best or suggest the best color to choose when the things comes to the wearing, the clothes, especially clothing and the shoes? Thank you very much.
With regard to the issue of color, there could be two types of different reflection. Number one side goes back to the psychology of colors. Nowadays, psychologists believe that colors could create different types of inner feelings for men and women. For example, in sad occasions, all culture believe that it would be better to go by black color. And in happy occasions,
you know, in all cultures, there are advices with regard to yellow one or, you know, white one or green one or things like that. Okay. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Al-Baqarah, when it talks about the yellow color, it says, فَاقَعُ لَوْنُهَا تَسُرُّ النَّادَرِينَ. The yellow color provides you happiness, feeling of happiness. So whenever we talk about the color, we have to be careful with regard to psychological feelings that we need in different occasions of our daily life. You know, life is full of ups and downs. None of us is always happy and none of us is always sad. Life is a mixture of happiness and sadness. And Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, in Nahj al-Balagha says, Ad-dahru yawmani. Yawmun laka wa yawmun alayk. Your life is divided into two parts. One day is against you and one day is for you. When it is against you, we are sad because we are the loser. And when it is for us, we are happy because we are having benefit. So with regard to colors, if it goes back to the issue of psychology of color and the different feelings that all of us could have in our life, it's due to us. But when we put aside the psychological part and come to the religious part, of course, in religious part, you don't have the advice about one particular type of color. You know, should hijab be always black? Who says that? Should it be white? Who says that? Should it be yellow, white, whatever? It's due to you. The only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks men and women in terms of hijab is the reality, is the fact that your dress, your clothes, your cover should not be inviting the opposite sex in non-necessary occasions. This is the issue. This is the core. When I was talking to Sister Fatima with regard to Quran form, this goes back to differentiation between core and form for the Islamic rulings. Islamic rulings with regard to hijab, should it be which color? We don't know. The reality that we have to be careful about is that the dress, the clothes, the cover that we take should not invite the opposite sex toward us for the sexual relationships, for the love in form of sexual relationship. And it could, even someone could wear a black hijab, but at the same time, she or he is sending signals. So it's not important to be, you know, sensitive with regard to color. We have to be sensitive with regard to the motive that we have inside the heart. The dress, the clothes, the suit, the cover that we take, it's not important to be which type of color, whatever you like. More and most important is the root of the color that you choose. Why did you choose this color? Because I would like to appear and show off myself in a motivating, impressing way. Impressing way for your husband, for your father, for your mahare, or for your friend, or for your classmate. So more important of everything behind colors is your motives, your intention. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requests us, to be careful about the borderline. And the color is due to you. And it's not very hard. It's very simple to test ourselves. Why did I choose this color? Why did I choose this type of dressing, clothes, to be more impressive, to look like more beautiful? For what reason? So it goes back to your intention. The thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requests you, your body should be covered with something that the opposite sex or the same sex, when they look at you, you look like normal. And the same question goes back to the issue of makeup. Some of Muslims believe that makeup to some extent is allowed in Islam. And some of them, they say, no, makeup only just in happy ceremonies like wedding and things like that is okay. And in the single sex sessions. But when you come to the public session, you have to be careful. So the issue is the signals of invitation. If your dress does not have negative invitation for the opposite sex, you go ahead and enjoy it. And if it has negative invitation for the opposite sex, you will have problem and you are behaving problematic. This is my answer.
I think there's no question. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can conclude.
Okay. So, brothers and sisters, I believe in terms of Ahlul Bayt, particularly in terms of knowing Lady Fatima salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, there are two lines, two avenues. One line is to talk about the, you know, characteristics and the merits of Ahlul Bayt. For example, the issue of ilm, the issue of ismah, the issue of modesty and things like that. These are ma'rifa with regard to Ahlul Bayt. But I believe nowadays, more than those types of information and knowledge about Ahlul Bayt, we are in need of understanding about the lifestyle and educational teachings of Ahlul Bayt. The educational teachings of Prophet Muhammad, of the infallibles, including Lady Fatima salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. And myself as an educationalist, I believe that nowadays we are in need of educational teachings of Ahlul Bayt with regard to our daily life, with regard to our next generation that they are going astray if we are not taking enough care of them. And I have started just one tiny line, and with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I continue this through different avenues. You know, child training in terms of belief system, child training in terms of moral system, and child training in terms of legal and ahkam system. And inshallah, one by one, we go ahead until we could be able to afford a full pack of child training. And I wish you all the best of luck.